First of all, I want to remind you that Deacon Paul's scripture study begins this Thursday. If you haven't registered, stop in the sacristy and you can register there. Stop in the rectory, not the sacristy, in the parish office. I need to wake up. Stop in the parish office Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and register at that time. It's a very great thing that we do have Deacon Paul to do these studies. They're really great, and it's a great resource we have, even though he's retired. And it's really good that he's out of retirement, in a sense. Also, of course, we have our First Communion kids here. They will be receiving communion later this year, and they've made their May altars, even though it's almost October, but that's okay too, and we'll be blessing those after the things. And remember, parents, one of the most important things you have to remember as parents of children that are going to be receiving their First Communion, make sure that your children are fed. That means you have to make sure that they have an opportunity to come to Mass each week, so that they may be fed when they receive their First Communion with the body and blood of Christ. It's essential for them, and it's essential for you. So please, parents, be faithful. Don't starve your children. Many years ago, before I was ordained to the priesthood, I was working rather late. I got out of work very late. It was nighttime, and there was a terrible snowstorm and a whiteout, and couldn't see anything. And as I was going to drive home, I saw a car going in my direction, so I decided to follow that car. So I followed him for quite a great distance, and finally when he stopped, he got out of the car, and I said, "Why'd you stop?" He says, "This is my driveway." Okay, Michael. The point is, we have to be careful about who we follow. We also have to think about what it's going to cost to follow. The first reading, the prophet speaks of his prophetic vocation. "The Lord opens my ears that I may hear, so that he can understand what God wants him to say." And he realizes that most people won't listen, as almost all of the prophets experience this situation, that God speaks hard words and challenges the people to be faithful, but people want to follow their own way and not God's way, even though it's God's way that leads to what is good, that leads to eternal life. A good relationship with God in the covenant and a good relationship with neighbors. And the prophet goes on to speak about the sufferings he experiences, buffets and spittings and so forth. He's speaking God's word, but he understands that in spite of those difficulties he experiences, God is with him, and God will be with him, and God will sustain him. The second reading we hear from the letter of St. James. And Luther said of this letter, it's an epistle of straw, because he thought that James was contradicting Luther's understanding of what Paul said about living by faith. In one of the passages that Luther translated, it says, "The just man shall live by faith alone." The alone was not there in the text. He added it. In fact, nothing that James says contradicts or opposes Paul. Paul understood the centrality of faith coming into a relationship with God. Without denying the importance of living and acting in that relationship. James says faith without works is dead. And Paul talks about works, says we are to live by faith, not by works. But what Paul is talking about is not works of charity and mercy. Paul is talking about the works of the Mosaic Law, which we do not have to follow. James reminds us that faith without works is dead. We have to live in faith. We have to understand that faith leads us to works of charity and mercy. Faith puts us into a relationship with Christ, and we are to manifest that relationship with Christ by our baptism, by the sacraments, and that relationship has to be lived out by living as Christ lived, with kindness and mercy and charity for those around him, for all of his people. In the gospel, Jesus asked the people, his disciples, who do people say that I am? And says, then, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. And then Jesus goes on to say that he will be crucified. And Peter takes him aside and says, no, you can't say that. And we have to remember that in Matthew's account of this situation, when Matthew says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus praises him and gives him the keys of the kingdom. But now he rebukes him because he says, you're thinking not as God does. You're thinking as fallen human nature does. You have to think as God sees things. And then he says, the price of following him is the cross. The price of following Jesus is understanding and asking God for the grace to think and act with the mind of Christ, to act with charity first and always. Even though people around us will abuse and ridicule us because we seek to live that way, and people will even suffer martyrdom, whether it's physical martyrdom or spiritual or emotional martyrdom, we still have to proclaim the truth. We have to understand that this world is not all there is, that there is such a thing as truth, which is the conformity with reality, with the world as it is. We have to understand that there are consequences to our actions and to our inactions, and that if we are to take up our cross by God's grace, that cross we take, while it means suffering and difficulty here, will not lead to death, but to the fullness of eternal life.